Kendi and Ravo podcast, sponsored by Maves and the Garavo Bar.
That's the end of it now.
That's it now. Are we recording?
We're recording, yeah. Should I just...
wrap it up with that now?
But no, I'm just going
to... Thanks very much, lads. 275.
Whenever I get this interest, I'm just going to go on my phone. I'm just going to read emails.
Oh, is that what you're doing, is it?
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Mark. The Atlantic are the best wind I've ever seen. Oh, this is awful annoying.
I have no notes today on my phone. It's all in my head.
Well, I've not in my head.
You sound a bit croaky, man.
Yeah, no, so
what
I was sick.
What has occurred to you?
Do you remember that fucking small live show we did on Friday?
Did it take it all out of you, did it?
I was sick at that live show.
Oh!
It was the beginnings of this.
I didn't know you were sick.
And then
kept that one very quiet.
Then I lost my voice, and then I was gigging Saturday. You were on annual leave.
I was on annual leave.
And the Atlantic were doing a gig in Mullingar.
Yeah.
Thank God Derek was filling in for you.
Oh!
I didn't sing one note.
I
sang two notes.
Two notes.
I sang the first two notes of Viva La Vida by Coldplay at
the start,
and I went, there's nothing coming out of that. There's nothing coming out of that. What do you want to say?
Yeah, you're not singing singing classes.
Stop with your singing classes.
No, so here's the thing.
I can't afford singing classes anymore because we bought a house.
Somebody put a review up of The Atlantic, Brendan, right? A genuine review.
Oh,
The Atlantic is
heard about this.
Yeah, The Atlantic is a five-piece band,
Five-piece band.
So the review was like how brilliant we were at their wedding, so fair play to them and all.
Yeah.
But they'd also said, and four of them sing. And fair play
four
to the
out four. Of the five of them
four
are...
Four out of the
no,
five...
No, they said four out of the five of them are great singers.
No.
So it was a veiled insult to me.
Yeah, it was,
and I
yeah.
wasn't... It wasn't annual leave on Saturday night. I was so thick about the way that I was spoken about.
Yeah.
I have so many things to offer.
You haven't got a huge amount to offer, really, Ray. Yeah. Not a
open,
huge amount.
Open that beer and see if that make you feel
now,
better.
Now, what beer is that, Ray?
It's an Opel Astra beer.
Yeah.
We've had it before. It's your type. It is your type.
Which is funny because I just got a very bad call about the Astra, actually, long ago.
Yeah.
But this was given to us by Sarah.
Sarah, don't want me to read the wee
German Sarah. So she said, will you get Ray to read that? Because she said, I can't read her handwriting.
Dear Mark, dear Ray. Just a wee thank you, German Import. That's the beer. Thank you for throwing me into the deep end of the Irish dating pool. Even if I ended up swimming in while I didn't find the love of my life, I did find a newfound appreciation for blind dates, Irish accents, and the sheer unpredictability of live podcasting. I remain hopeful, keep my passport ready, and my expectations cautiously optimistic. Jokes aside, thanks for a story. I'll tell my grandkids the laughs and everything. Sláinte, and then she says something about Piest. And then that's from Sarah the German, who was the young one we attempted to give away on Friday night.
That's right. And I can't look.
Sarah,
I don't know how much more we can do for you now. Throw the big load of fellas up in front of you.
Well, there was three of the finest books. If anyone's joining us, by the way, this is episode 275.
Oh, yeah. So, first of all, sorry, we're jumping so far.
Yeah.
My voice was gone. Ha, ha, ha.
We want to go back to
that. We did a shite comedy festival.
Did a great comedy festival.
No, it was shite. It was the worst gig of all time. A shy gig.
Let's
just pretend that we didn't enjoy it. Like, obviously the consensus was like, oh, wow.
No, but we did.
But if we're
enjoy
like,
it.
That was shy.
No, it was wonderful. We had a wonderful
no,
time.
No, it was brilliant. It was unreal. Yeah. So
And Sarah, just to slot this in, we had Sarah in as part of the show, and she was a blind date contestant, and we had three lads, Michal, Luke, and Dara, and she picked Dara in the end, and it seems from her letter there that things already have soured between her and Dara.
So we sent them to Tenerife.
They've only got back today.
So that was, we sent them to Tenerife for 5 days. So they're obviously already back there now. And obviously it didn't work out, like, you know.
No, and I'm sorry. Sorry, Tara, obviously. And commiserations to Luke and Michal as well.
Yeah.
In fairness, I thought Luke, I actually sent Luke a voice note on the old podcast Instagram.
Right.
And I said, Luke, I would have picked you.
No.
And he took that bad, I think, because it sounded probably more forward than I should have been. But his line, he made one line, and you'll hear it next week when we do put out the live show.
Yeah, live show will be out next week. Yeah,
we're doing this to make life easy on ourselves.
Yeah.
Luke had one of the best lines of the whole dating experience there. He says that any prospective suitor or sutress, whatever you call
it. A Kama sutress,
would have to be able to throw a bit of weight behind a few pints.
No. And if that's not what every fella's looking
that's
for...
That's poetry in my mind.
Isn't it? I said it on the night. I said, is that William Butler Yeats speaking
of it? Is that Seamus Heaney now?
Is that Seamus Heaney or is that Lukey Heaney?
And then about chatting up women, brute force is what he uses.
Yeah.
Now, that was probably questionable.
But you don't know what that could be. Emotional brute force.
Brute force.
Of, fucking shift me now. You know what's going to
brute force of poetry.
Yeah.
Is it such a forceful bit of poetry being thrown at you that you don't know what anything other than shifting you?
Shouting poetry at someone, maybe, is what he meant.
Sorry now. That was the Sarah bit. Fair play to Sarah for doing the day. Let's get back to the start here now, where we discussed the fact that you were sick that night. You hid it awful well, son.
No, I was only getting sick really that evening. I knew it was coming.
But you didn't let on.
No,
you
didn't.
Suffered in silence that night.
The show must go on. I was like Freddie Mercury recording his last ever fucking album.
And come here.
He knew he was on the way out and he said, I better fucking, I have one more performance in me.
Oh, stop, that's enough.
That's what happened. The show must go on.
And he said, lads, I know I look shook, but say nothing. Let's just keep at it.
I didn't look shook, though.
No, you didn't look shook now, in
fairness. No, I knew I was sick on the night. And then, obviously, what happens then is you do a three-hour podcast shouting.
Yeah.
Then you go into a pub then and shouting.
You did. Then, you do that.
And then you move to a different pub, then you start shouting.
Shouting again.
And then you wake up then in the morning. And
you drank pints, didn't you?
I drank 8 pints of Guinness. Two cans of White Hag, and I went shouting, and then I woke
Mother
up the next
God,
day. But it's still, I'm still gone now. Like
you're still hungover, I'd say more than anything else. That's an awful scatter of drink.
No, it was, but it is, it is, it's amazing how you a week.
How did you drink 8 pints of Guinness in the same length of time it took me to drink 3?
No, I haven't a clue if I drank 8 pints.
Oh, that's all right.
Did I say I drank eight pints of Guinness?
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of sitting there going, "This doesn't make sense." Unless you're.
Oh, I was wondering why you were getting so excited about the drinking there.
It was
you
had a straw on your jumper or something.
I haven't a clue how many pints of Guinness I drank.
All right.
I was just like, I fucking drank 8 pints of Guinness and 2 cans. Now I did drink genuinely like 4 or 5 cans of White Hag.
Yeah, and they're lethal. Sorry, Bob. Now, just I know you sponsor us and everything else, but
strong.
Mother of God, 2 of them is loads.
No, honestly, I drank a load of them.
Imagine if they reduced the percentage stuff. You could drink more of them.
Yeah, maybe you should. Yeah. Well, I've been saying this. You need to start gearing the stuff towards children.
But making it 4.4%
for
the children could drink it.
Yeah.
Get a buzz on it, a confirmation or a communion or something.
And then be ready then, Bob, to drink White Hag then for
when they're
they get
18
older,
or 19 or 42.
That's what I'm saying. Either lower percentage beers, Bob, or a cider. Because kids love... Do you know what he should do? He should go up with some kind of a blue drink.
Drink responsibly.
Or like a Smirnoff Ice.
Drink responsibly.
Sorry, drink responsibly
all the time. I keep
having
to think we have to say this every time we talk about drinking.
Smirnoff Hag.
Smirnoff.
That's what he said. WK Hag.
So, you got sick anyway. And then I just want to zone in on... You just mentioned one important bit. Right. So, he played the Atlantic without me. 4 out of 5 great singers.
Yeah.
Play, well, now all of a sudden, 5 out of 5. Oh, no, still 4 out of 5 because Eddie was there in the drums.
Yeah.
But... Derek sang the whole night for you, did he?
Derek sang every song. And do you know what? That's
he probably got dates there for the rest of the year as a result.
Well, after I had flagged it with your man. I flagged it with your man. I was like, I'm not going to be able to sing tonight, but I'm going to try the first song.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't a great way to start our journey in the chambers. It was our first gig in there. And he was like, ah, whatever, like, see what happens. And then, obviously, he made a 2 notes in and didn't. But the next day, you know, he texted and he was like, geez, fair play. You know, it was a great old gig or whatever. Like
that lad you got to fill in for you was very good.
But I would say to him, next time I promise I'll sing. But I was like, maybe I shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Maybe I should just let Derek
maybe
sing.
Maybe it's my time.
But the great thing about Derek is, that's how you know a seasoned busker, if you know what I mean. So he's so used to doing one-man gigs and gigs all around the place that like, I was going through, we didn't change the set list
bit. He just sang whatever you would
and
sing.
I was just like, will you sing this one next? And he was like,
yeah,
okay. And he might have never sang it before in his life. He was like, yeah, okay, I'll sing that one.
That's nice.
And it was so easy going. I was like, this is great.
And you got a feeling for what it's like for me because you were just playing bass and doing sound.
A little bit. And I'll tell you another thing I'm getting very frustrated with now. We might have to make some changes in the Atlantic.
Oh.
Every time we do an Atlantic gig, everyone goes up to Bethany after the gig telling her, what are you doing with these flutes?
Right.
It's driving me up the wall.
Is it really getting to you?
It is, because this woman asked for C'est la vie, right?
By the Bewitched.
By the Bewitches.
Yeah.
Right? And she was a bewitched. Take out the W's. The so.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, anyway, I said, we don't know C'est la vie, sorry, love.
Yeah.
You know, and then all... And then Bethany sang Dreams by the Cranberries, which was obviously the next song she was going to ask for.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, Bethany was the hero of the night for saving us.
Yeah.
And we didn't know C'est la vie.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we were loading up the gear. Load of women and fellas come out. Bethany, that girl, I'll tell you one thing. What are you doing with these fellas
now?
Are
you jealous?
Yeah, pure jealous, yeah.
Because you used to be the pretty star of the whole thing.
Yeah, I used to be the real talented pretty one. That's gone now.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it sickens my hole, if I'm being honest.
Well, you could do something about you just hack her.
No, I don't want... No, because I need her now. I need her more than ever. I need her more than ever. No, but I keep telling people then, in order to keep her self-esteem low, I tell her every night that she's useless, but also I tell the other people that, like, I was like, you're going to have to stop talking to her like that now, because she was a dirty junkie that we found in the streets. Like,
oh, wow.
That's what I tell people. I was like, she was a homeless. Rough. I said she was a homeless junkie.
How does her family feel about you telling people this about their lovely daughter?
Well, I hope her father and brothers don't find out.
No, I hope they don't.
But I'm just trying. Because I'd be sickened if everyone left me. And I don't want it to be found out that I'm the least talented out of the five of us.
You're not, though.
No, when you're there, I'm not.
Yes,
when,
I was going to say.
When Derek is there.
I was going to say, when I'm there, yeah. You have an edge in me. Yeah.
That's why I have to keep you around, you see.
Yeah, yeah. I make you look good.
No, I can't.
And that's why the podcast works.
I can't be at the bottom of the pile up.
No,
that's
you not. Can't. Did you enjoy the live show anyway in the end?
Oh, so let's get to the, are we going to get to the live show then?
You can talk a little bit about it.
A little bit.
Yeah, because of course people might have not heard it yet because no.
It's impossible to talk just a little bit. I was going to go on Instagram a couple of times over the last couple of days in the aftermath of the live show.
Mm.
And I couldn't put the words together to let everyone know how appreciative I was of anyone that was involved in this.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find the words. To be like,
but you were sick as well, so that's probably affecting.
But I was sick,
so
I couldn't actually find the words.
You couldn't find the words. You had no voice.
So the first things first, like everyone who came to that live show, there was 390 of you plus there, 290 of you plus there.
I was going to say, where are you getting the 390 out of?
There was 100 outside there protesting.
Like on the outside with a screen and a little speaker.
The Westboro Baptist Church were outside protesting. Yeah. So, like for those people that turn up, I just hope and pray you had a great night.
Yeah,
I really hope that you went. I'm so glad I went there. As for in the room, like. And backstage, like James and Rory and Vinny. How unreal is it to know people like that?
Just on the technical side, yeah. Certainly.
So James did all the visuals and cameras. Yeah. Rory did all the lights and cameras.
Yeah.
And Vinny did all the sound.
He did. Vinny from Vinny's Premium Mic Stand.
He had three mic stands backstage, but I never sat like them. They were beautiful.
They were beautiful. So gold plated.
Those, and like plated. The easygoing nature of those three boys when we... And how much they wanted to do for us.
I do have to apologise to Vinny, though. He came at one stage asking us before the show to say, time to put on your microphones. Because we were wearing the Tommy Tiernan invisible mics.
Yes.
That you can't see. Vinny didn't even know how many he had.
No.
So, but he came in with his little tray of mics.
He did, yeah.
And he knocked the door. And it was at the time we were doing stuff with the press and, you know.
Ah,
whatnot,
you know yourself, yeah.
It's like a champion we're taking. Is it a champion?
Champion? Champion,
yeah, the champion. We were taking a photo, and he kind of came to know. We said, "Vinny, just give us 5 minutes." But I felt awful bad because it felt like we shooed him away.
Yeah,
he was coming for seriousness.
He was going. You know, the show's on soon, and I need to put these on you for
safety, so that I know they're working.
I know, but the great thing, I hopefully for Vinny, is that me and you both know that as well. We would never have gone out without a mic.
No,
on.
Not at all. Do you know? No. But you're right.
Us knowing a tech crew like that,
it was lovely.
Goes such a long way.
Because it meant we didn't worry about it.
So, and the other thing is, well, we didn't just know a tech crew. Rory's one of the best lighting engineers I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. James will pull anything together for a computer. He's like your man out of School of Rock at the end when they're like, you're going to have to do the show solo, all the visuals. And he's like, I'll
swing it. Like they're a great bunch of lads now, in fairness.
Then everyone then who was involved in the actual show itself. So Sharon Mannion, Alan Clark, Timmy from Getting One, Colin Dawson, Aidan Tierney and Luke Bing Flanagan.
That's right.
Were they all the guests?
And Plan C.
And what?
Plan C.
And Plan C, the band. God am I, like all of those people knocked out. Sharon Mannion, Ray. Not a single one out. Sharon Mannion blew the roof off.
She did
now.
She came in there with a point to prove.
Yeah.
Do you know? She said that.
I'm
a funniest, and most of us common are here. Yeah. I'm going to make my name for myself now in my home county.
No.
And that's what she did.
Yeah.
Did you notice there was a lot of Roscommon people in the crowd?
There was a lot of Roscommon people in
it
the crowd.
It was a bit unnerving.
Yeah, it was weird.
There was five from Mayo, and that was my family.
Yeah, but none of the, funny, the amount of Roscommon people in the crowd, none of them were my family, which was a bit, but there was a lot of Roscommon people in the crowd, so she was amongst her own people, I guess, but she blew the roof. Her and Alan Clark could do something together, you know that?
They could.
They have great chemistry, the two of them.
Yeah. So, not in a romantic way, obviously, for Sharon's husband's perspective.
No, just in a professional way.
In a professional capacity.
Yeah.
It's important to say that. Valentine's Night.
They were deadly. Yeah. And then the show would not have been produced without the women in our lives.
With the women.
They were unreal.
Yeah.
They pretty much produced that show, like as in what happened during
the show. What's that line? Blessed are
men amongst young
amongst
women.
Amongst the women.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fairness to us.
So they produced most of that show.
Yeah, Louise, Laura, and Nicola.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, well, there would be nothing in that room if it wasn't for 6 days of a comedy festival.
And I mean, now, the comedy festival was tremendous. The book running it, bag of shite.
No, he is a bag of
shite. I mean, he was minded for the week.
And you know what the other thing is?
I mean, there was so many times I found him drunk.
You know the way you get 4 weeks off a year?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the only man ever to take 16 weeks annual leave.
Yeah.
No, Brendan ran a comedy festival, like, and that's no mean feat, like, to do 6 days of comedy. And, like, we would not, if someone ran a comedy festival, we would not get the chance to headline the Friday nights.
No, no.
There's not a that would not happen if it wasn't for Brendan. Being the one Brendan there now.
Good that you're working off that day.
But it is funny that, like, because we've now shown that we're capable of headlining the main night of a comedy festival.
That's true.
But we would never have been given that chance.
Nor do we want to do it again.
We'd never do it again.
No, we've made it quite clear.
I was chatting to a friend of mine on the phone today.
Yeah.
I was chatting to a friend of mine on the phone today, and he said, like, oh, you know the way people say, oh, until the next one, like.
Yeah, no.
And I said, cast garlic, like, it's I have to say,
we are due to do one in the Garavogue.
That's the hard part of this. Obviously, I love doing the Garavogue, but...
Do you feel it's a come down now,
No, it's not that. It's that we put so much effort into this one.
I'm looking forward to the Garavogue one now. Because it's a bit, it's easier going and there isn't as much. Is, can we get Brian back? Pixel Productions, our man, Brian.
He only does the fucking, he only does the show he wants to do, that fella. He wouldn't do the Hawksman when it was called.
Anyway, the Garavogue, I believe it's probably in around May we'll be doing it.
Yeah, we have to do one more,
Yeah, I'd say it'll be May. May or possibly June, because it's apparently American people that want to come see us and they're trying to time their trip home to see us.
So we make sure, to, so June 28th.
We might have to try and figure out June 28, 2028.
Yeah.
No, as in June this year. But that'll be the next one anyway, if anyone's wondering.
Trying to come over and listen.
Yeah, yeah, they messaged and they said, come here now.
That was the other thing I noticed about the crowd that were there on in the Hawksville is, wasn't it mad to genuinely look out?
Mm.
When we sit here now, I feel like I can see everyone's face who listens.
Yeah.
I can see everyone's face who listens to us. So I know what I'm about to say next is going to be geared towards them laughing.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think there's probably about 50 faces in my head at all times that you know what I mean? And that's what I think. That's it. The only people that listen to us.
Yeah, there was a whole heap of strangers there. I didn't know
anyone.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I looked out into the crowd. I barely knew anyone.
Yeah.
I saw Dave, Melly and Grace sitting there. That was about it.
And my mother and father right up front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And my father said, that's the best show they've done now.
Did he?
He did.
That's
why I said to Brendan, I think we can leave it at that.
That's outrageous.
I think that's the height of praise now from Michael McAndrew.
You haven't stopped crying, I'd say, since.
I'm out of liquids. Last 3 days, I'm...
He's been shiting and pissing and crying
trying to drink the Lucozades, but it's not keeping up.
Anyway.
Great night. Fair play to everybody.
Like I said, it's hard to find the words to describe how unreal it was.
Yeah.
Fair play to you all. I just hope people went home and went, I'm glad now we went to that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the people that didn't go, shower of shits, don't ever listen to us again. No, no,
no.
For people who were thinking,
come in June.
Don't come in June.
Come in June.
Anyone who was himming and hawing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I go to that or not. And then you decided not to go. You're a useless pack of shits, everybody.
He doesn't mean it.
Don't.
He doesn't mean it.
No,
sick.
That you fucking.
He's sick now. No, he doesn't mean it.
May he burn me in the devil now. Start roasting you.
He's after topping up the 8 pints with a few suckies out of that tin of stuff, and he's now thick with the drink.
May he never get the ride again or nothing. Let you always be living in misery.
Other than the live show, have you any other news?
No.
Right.
No, I actually don't. locked up.
Yeah, sure. But
everyone in the house is sick. Everyone is sick.
Right.
The coughing and spluttering.
I have a huge question for you.
Go on.
Isn't Nicola going back to work shortly?
Yeah, she's going back in 2 weeks.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, because like...
Because you don't seem like a man that's in any way is running 100... I think we need to take you away for 2 weeks, give you some holistic therapy. Now, if Nicola hears this, that'll probably drive her demented.
No, no, she thinks that... So Nicola is full, like, she thinks that I... That she's going to have to get someone in to mind us.
It's been so long since you had a child.
You know what
minder.
I mean? So that she's going to be like... Now that I'm going back to work, someone's going to have to mind all my kids, Mark included.
Mark included.
Definitely, like.
Oh, so she's worried.
Her respect levels for me are going down day by day.
Right, but what are you doing to make that happen, though?
But I don't know what to do. I'm helpless.
Helpless.
I'm absolutely helpless, like. So, I am worried, she's worried, like.
She's worried.
The thing is, she'd never admit that, but she is worried. I don't think she thinks I'm capable
of
doing it. But
in fairness, I can only imagine that two children of that age, even though one of them will be in creche for a couple hours during the day, it's hard all going on you now.
No, it is hard going, Jesus.
I genuinely wanted to say that if you wanted help at all, I'll happily send Laura up if I can.
I thought you were going off yourself.
No, there's no point in me offering me because I know nothing about it. I'd only be a hindrance.
You would be the equivalent of a fucking jerry can on a fire.
Exactly. Two children would start crying as I entered the door.
No, the thing is, I think I might be able to do this.
Hmm.
Like, I think I'll just click back into gear again to have to... You know?
You'll be down Dorley Park meeting all the other man.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like when I did that with Ali, like it was just that we built a rapport then, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that Layla's so used to Nicola. And Because when you have two kids, you split them.
Is that what happens?
I kind of do Ali most of the time now, for the most part. And then she does Layla.
Yeah.
But like, now Layla's getting to that stage now where she's very aware of what's around her. So I'm more in the picture now.
Good.
Before that, it was just tits.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. I couldn't blame the child.
No, but you couldn't blame the child at all. But like now that she's more cognitive of her surroundings, I'm more in the picture now. So I'm hoping that I'd be able to build that rapport with her.
And you're going to have way more, like, to have two girls in the wee stroller. We should get your wee double stroller.
Yeah.
So when you are going down, or you're going tipping about Lidl or Aldi, or going into Dunn's with the fancy Barry's tea bags, you're going to get great attention from everyone. Everybody stop going, oh my God.
No, what I like is when they stop to help. Oh my gosh.
Yes,
but like,
and then the babe, the mother.
Or like, there's nothing better than like an 80-year-old woman getting out of your way. I mean, that is fucking, like, that's fucking power.
That's
I told you that before. I was eating the blend, like, and this fucking old woman
got up from her seat. I was sitting down.
I was sitting on a high table.
Yeah,
with the baby, trying to mind the baby, and she was like, "I'll sit up on that high table. Jesus. You take my little one," and I did, like, and I felt bad for a while, but I was like, she's all right.
Yeah.
So when you have 80-year-old women getting out of your way,
that's brilliant. And you'll probably be able to park like literally out of the door Lidl now that you have this bit of power.
You can park in Lidl.
Yeah. Oh, right. There's actually in the back into the garage.
You know, like the shutter doors in the back. Yeah, yeah.
You drive
reverse in there now, like with all the drivers.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is, I am going to have to rethink the shopping in Dunn's part of it.
Why so?
Because everyone in town, so the one thing I've learned is no one has any respect for parent baby bays. Nobody.
Yes, true.
People just pull in willy-nilly.
I have to admit, I've
you done it?
I've done it.
So you're scum of the earth, right?
I'm not. No, I kind of look at you and I go, feck off.
No, you're absolute scum.
Yeah.
Because Dunn stores in Sligo, right? If you park in the normal ones, you have to get out the window.
Yes,
they're
you
the tightest fucking spots.
I do feel that in
Ireland. So how are you going to get a baby out of there in a baby chair and
that's
a buggy?
Yeah.
So you're absolute scum. If you're going into that Dunn's, anyone out there, if you're going into that Dunn's,
okay. And you're parking in the baby.
Like, I'd rather see an old person drive into it. I don't mind if they're old driving into it.
I don't.
Like, I
think I've
close.
Done it once, and it was. I think it's Casey's filling station down in Ballina. They have two baby bays, but you're kind of going, why is anyone bringing, you know, babies to get AdBlue and, you know, chicken fillet roll? You know, filling stations, you're kind of going, it's nice to have the baby bay, but.
But, like, you're up there with Joseph Mengele now, pulling stunts like that. You are, like.
Right.
Honestly, that's the worst of the worst that do that, like that pull in there, like. So I'm gonna have to rethink Dunn's because them spaces are always gone with flutes who have no babies. Usually like mothers who have dropped the babies off at school, by the way.
Yeah.
You can clearly tell if I go in the morning and you can almost imagine that their psyche is they're going, well, I do have kids, like, just because they're not here, like, you know, doesn't mean that I can't. I have kids too, I have rights too, you know. But you can't park it in Dunn's.
Could we ever do a day where we just
film
out and film it?
Yeah, I'd love
and actually
to.
Just the two of us just sit there on two little kind of, what do you call the chairs you bring to the beach?
Perches.
Perches.
And on two deck chairs.
Deck chairs.
Yeah,
we sit there with our decks. Two deck chairs.
Two of us sit there with our decks and
just
watching women get out of their cars.
And abuse them as they come out.
Yeah,
abuse. So if anyone pulls into that space at all and film it and going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to head down next week.
I think we'll do that one of the days.
We're going to do that.
Yeah, I have a half day's annual leave left between now and the 1st of April.
Lovely.
I'll happily spend
the
half day.
The two of us are
going
to head down there with our decks and we're going
to come into a Dunn's near you.
Women.
The Kendi and Rebel podcast.
No.
Live at the mother and baby parking spot.
You know what it is? It is outrageous. So I can't park there. The other reason I can't go into Dunn's as well is owl ones are like cyclists. They shop too abreast.
They do.
Right?
They do.
And you can't get by them. I tried to tip into Dunn's today.
Yeah.
You couldn't tip in. You can't tip into Dunn's.
Yeah.
Because owl ones are out and about.
Yeah.
Right? Eating sucky sweets and they're fucking shopping two abreast.
They are shopping. And slowly two abreast.
Slowly two abreast.
Because they have the time.
Slowly two abreast. Yeah. They're as bad as the cyclists out there, honest to God.
Yeah.
So I the only way to go is the Aldi or Lidl now.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm back out on my own again.
Okay.
I need swift shopping.
I hope it all works out all right for you.
Yeah. We're coming across as miserable.
What?
Am I coming across as real miserable?
No. No, not at all.
I am, haven't I?
A little bit.
I feel miserable, so fuck that.
You look miserable.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
I'll throw some bits at you.
Go on.
Just to distract you
from
the misery.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Wetherspoons?
Yeah, I've been in a Wetherspoons before in Glasgow.
Great. So you know what they look like.
Yeah, they look like fucking a woman called Aggie's kitchen or a fucking living room. Aggie from Yorkshire. You walk in, you all right, love? That's what it's like.
Yeah. So are you familiar? Are you aware that Wetherspoons have hotels?
Do they?
They do.
So like now I can stay in Aggie's so now, front room.
But you would think of Wetherspoons Hotel. they're up and down the length and breadth of England, Wales and Scotland, right? Yeah. But they also have hotels in Ireland.
Wetherspoons?
Yes, right? Wetherspoons have, in particular, a hotel in Swords.
All right.
Swords is right beside the airport there in Dublin,
yeah.
North County Dublin. And I had the pleasure of staying in a Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myself and Laura, and I booked it. And I know I have a checkered history when it comes to accommodation choices.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's for sure.
So we went up and I said, look, it's called the Old Borough Hotel, right. And it's a Wetherspoons hotel.
But how do you know it's Wetherspoons?
Because it says it. It's Old Borough Wetherspoons. Oh, are you okay there, you, after obviously. Yawning? You nearly
what I mean is like, yeah, so do you just mean it's just owned by Wetherspoons?
It's owned by Wetherspoons.
But is it called a Wetherspoons?
It's the Old Borough Wetherspoons. Yeah, the Old Borough Hotel by Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
So I booked it because it was in Swords and it suited us to be in Swords. Yeah. I was thinking, this is nice now. You know, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Now Laura, this is a treat you expected now. We're going to go to a lovely little Irish village called Swords and there'll be loads of things there and we'll enjoy a night away, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Quiet night away.
Now,
and it looked...
By the airport.
By the airport. Yeah. We didn't need to go to the airport. Yeah, we had no business in the airport.
We'll stay out there.
I said, let's stay in Swords for the sake of it. Now, Swords is a wonderful little town.
It is.
Has a cinema, it has a Zara, it has all the shops.
That's everything you need.
And it has
town.
Like places for breakfast and places for dinner. And it has its own castle, but it's not really a castle. It's basically the bishop's residence.
I hate when there's houses. You see houses and they call them castles.
Yeah, exactly. It was a house pretending to be a castle.
Yeah.
Anyway, we checked into the Wetherspoons, and I have to say, before I say anything, I obviously have to qualify it. Our stay in this hotel was absolutely perfect. We had no complaint whatsoever.
It's all right, though, when you're going up against a conglomerate like Wetherspoons.
Yeah, I'm...
If you were like, I went down to the riverside, someone's taking shine, I'd be like, don't be telling people that story. Wetherspoons is fine. You can go for the
Wetherspoons is fine.
No, honestly, you can. You can go for
the jugular. It's like they literally took a hotel in England.
Yeah.
And disassembled it, IKEA flat pack job.
Yeah.
And shipped it over and then literally picked a place on the map.
Yeah.
And their finger happened to fall on Swords. Because I don't think Swords wanted a little piece of England on the main street.
Is that what it felt like?
It's not feel like. It is England in a building in Swords.
What happens? You go in and fucking, like, what's... What?
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with England. I'm one of the biggest West Brits you'll find.
Yeah, I am. So what is it?
I think some of the first things that's... Obviously, the whole bar is done out like a Wetherspoons.
Oh, is it?
So they've got really oversized lampshades.
Oh, yeah.
You know, high stools, low stools, tables. So just to describe the scene when we landed in, there was like a number of, and in fairness, there was lots of Dublin people there, right? And they were enjoying multiple pints.
They think that's a holiday.
Multiple pints they were having, yeah. And then there was a gentleman in the corner and he was wearing a suit and a green sparkly hat with an Ireland flag stuck to the side of it.
Why? Why now was he doing that now? Because he's out to wreck my head already. Why was he doing that?
I don't know. Maybe it was a dirty protest.
Did he work there?
Do you know, maybe kind of going, I'm not having these Wetherspoons English bastards coming in. I'm going to sit there now with the big Republican head in me, dressed like a leprechaun.
Yeah, so he didn't work there?
No.
But
he was a nice old man. And he was just sitting there enjoying a drink. And then he got up and left after an hour or two.
Right.
But it was a strange sight.
He wore that as a point of principle.
Possibly.
Listen up. I don't want ye Brits over here, Bush. In fairness, your own brew of porter is cheaper than Nocton's down the road.
They had loads of like drink deals. Like it was like being a Magaluf.
See, they brew all their own stuff, don't they? They don't sell Guinness.
And the laminate menus are on all the tables.
Yeah.
And you look at the laminate menu, and on the menu, it's only like an A4 menu, but on it they have pictures of all the drinks.
Yeah.
They have pictures of all the meals.
Oh, lovely.
And they have, like, at the top, there's a breakfast menu. Guess how much the breakfast is, the small Irish breakfast.
£4.90.
No. €2.95.
What?
Everybody's shocked. For a sausage, a rasher, hash brown, beans and an egg.
One of each, like?
One of
that's
each.
Still not bad. No, that's not bad.
Less than €3, like.
Jesus.
I don't know. Do you get tea and toast with it? Maybe not. Maybe you just get the breakfast. Maybe that's what
£2
what?
£2.95.
€2. It's all in pounds as well. You can't use euro. Everything's in sterling.
Well, I've never accepted the euro. I've never accepted the old Irish punt.
There's a currency exchange at the door as you're coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get, yeah. And a big sign, UK border.
And did you... That's why it's out near the airport, because they know everyone's going to bring the passport anyway. So
yeah, exactly. If I can recommend anyone, if you like England.
You liked this.
Yeah, but if you're even an English person in Ireland and you want a little
slice
in fairness, it's what we do with Irish pubs.
Yeah.
Because we take Irish pubs and you literally disassemble it and you build this thatched pub abroad in Thailand.
Yeah.
And everybody walks in, geez, I'm home.
I mean, I do that, like.
And the English have done that now in Ireland. They've created a place that if you're an English person in this country and you're sick of it, just go and spend a couple of nights in Swords in the old Borough Hotel there in Wetherspoons.
You're going to be sitting up there once a month now, man.
I enjoyed it now.
Yeah, you loved it. Of course you loved it.
I did now.
Like, you really do have a growth for Britain, don't you? Like, if you were to live in England, it wouldn't bother you, would it?
I did live in England.
Yeah,
you did. Me.
Like, or you didn't like it?
I just liked Ireland better.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you actually, really?
I have to say, I do have a growth for it. I love English radio. I think it's wonderful. Oh, yeah. And I do think, it is 60 million people living there.
Yeah.
It's just a much bigger economy.
Yeah.
Like, if you were looking to buy an old chest of drawers and make a bathroom vanity out of it.
Yeah, boy, now you're talking.
You're wasting your time looking for that in Ireland.
No, yeah, that's the thing you see.
You go to England, they have it.
And then worse than that again is, like, so I'm into, like, stuff, like, let's say camera equipment.
Yes.
Golfing equipment.
Yes.
Computer equipment.
So much more of it.
If I go to Dublin, there's a chance I might...
Oh, there's a chance you get some battered old bag of shite.
Yeah, but me living in Sligo, if I look up, like, I need a new camera.
Yeah.
There's one fella sent it in Sligo and he put it up 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And he's dead now. And, actually, and no one knows where the camera is.
And he didn't want to sell it in the first place.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to hold on to it. That's what's here when you go on adverts or Dundee or stuff. Like... James, who worked on our live show, he says what he does is when he goes to Dublin, he nearly always just picks up a MacBook because he's just like, someone's going to be selling a MacBook in Dublin that's, they want to get rid of that day.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'll take it. And he left them way less money. But you can't do that in Sligo.
No.
Trying to do that in England is brilliant. Like, you'll get anything.
Just economy of scale.
Like, I see it as well.
I can buy a train
well.
Over there. I can buy buses for 2.5 grand.
But you know what I see, right? These cash for clubs places, right? Golf clubs, that is.
Oh, yeah.
And they put up TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And they'll have a room this size, the size of our studio.
Yeah.
And the walls will just be made out of golf clubs, right?
Yeah.
And fellas will come in trading in golf clubs. How much, if I give you these three, will you give me that one for 50? Yeah, I will. Yeah, all the time.
That sounds like your favourite place.
It's class. Whereas if I want to buy a 3-wood, no, I have to think about it for 6 months. Like,
can I ask you on the golf club stuff?
Yeah.
If you were going away buying, do golf club shops, do they offer a place to try out the golf
clubs? They do.
Is there like a demo version?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's demos. That's what they call demos.
And where do you hit the ball? Into a net.
Into a net, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Annette, now, she's usually on the tour. You were about to say the same thing, were you?
That's very so good. Annette gets hit.
Yeah, Annette,
hit
you just fire it at Annette. And but the thing is, so what you do with golf clubs as well is, and this is kind of a money racket for amateur golf, but anyway, you do club fittings, like.
Oh.
So you go in and they have every golf club out that year, last year and the year before, you know.
Oh, wow.
And you go in and you hit into a simulator and the simulator and the net or whatever it is you're hitting into, they'll get data.
Yeah.
You hit that ball 280 yards.
Yeah.
You had a ball spin of 2,000 though, so that stopped it from going forward. And you have this and this and this. And then they'll say, try the ping one. Try the ping driver there and see how you're hitting that one.
Yeah.
You hit it 300 yards, but it was way right. So
you're telling me they
tried the TaylorMade. Well, now that one was actually 295 and it was straight. That might be the one for you.
Yeah.
And then they might go, no, that's a stiff shaft. And you would say, well, sure, I'm about to fucking buy a new golf club. Of course it is.
The
shafts of the golf club, the stiffness and everything, like you might swing a bit more. And they'll try different shafts. And they'll say, how'd you find that? No.
Yeah.
Shaft. And then that's a golf fit.
It's only a pity they wouldn't have something like that for one man's.
Oh.
So a one man acoustic act. Yeah. You go into a shop and you pick up the Tanglewood, right? Yeah. Right? You sound shite.
Yeah.
You know, you just sound shite. No one's going to enjoy that.
No, you go in and there's a virtual crowd.
Right.
And you have to play fucking Leave It on a Jet Plane. And they weren't into that one.
No, you played the same.
Go out there and try the Taylor.
Yeah.
Let's see what that's.
Same thing, Legion and Zeppelin. Yeah.
They fucking went for that one now, actually. Didn't mind that as much. You had to get two pairs of jocks thrown at you. That might be the one for you now.
And then you walk out with the guitar thinking, nice.
So there's only one place, really. There's a place in Galway where you can do that. And there's also, there's a McGurk's Golf up in Letterkenny, but like, I don't know if they do that. But the other thing about those wholesalers, those big, those guys, they just want you to buy the fucking expensive golf club. Yeah. So if you're like, that golf club that's £150 is, that's after going the straightest. They'll go, no. It was the 500 euro one actually went the straightest.
It was the straightest, yeah.
You know,
yeah
so
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot of bollocks in it too, like, you know.
That's anyway, that's interesting. So, yeah, if you want a little slice of England.
I can't believe you asked me that question and you let me talk about it.
Actually, why wouldn't I? Can't believe now, in fairness, that. Just there now, I got pure bored.
You're going to cut that out now. Yeah.
I just realized, oh my God, I'm going to have to bring up golf.
No, but I would go and go.
But this golf crack now, this is, when did you get into the golf? It was only recently now.
I came and went from golf for years.
Ah, okay. You know?
And then during COVID, I got really into it.
That's right. But before that, I never took you to
golfing. No, I wasn't really golfing that much before that. No. But then in COVID, I got really into it. And then I started working in video too much. And I was working 60 hours a week. Like.
And you couldn't golf.
And now I'm just back. And then Ali came along. But now, the last 2 years, I'm back in. I'm playing tournaments every weekend. Like
We will have to, me and you will have to tip out and do a little round.
Oh, I'd love it.
Like, round of nine.
I'd love it. Yeah.
And it'll be very, like very... evident when
like people keep threatening that now. You do like you really should become a member. Like you can come out and golf me, obviously, but I need buddies out there who will become members. Like
Do you get a commission for every member?
No, I just want friends.
You just want friends.
Yeah. So
when do you go golfing? It's Sunday mornings.
So I go golfing with Neil, a friend of mine. Loads like it. So at the weekends, I'll just put me because it gets chocker blocked at the weekends for tournaments. Like if you want to get into a competition, you just put your name in.
Right.
And you could be like last week. I was playing with three boys. One of them was the vice captain of the club.
Yeah.
And two other boys, and these gentlemen, lovely fellas, like all retired.
Yeah.
Great lifestyle. I just joined in with them and they're like, "Oh yeah, come
and
on."
Did they beat you off the pitch or did you beat
them? Really good, like. Yeah. Yeah, no, they were really good. Speaking of, golfers.
Sorry, it's completely now random.
Yeah, go on.
But can we talk just a minute?
Yeah.
Michael Murphy.
Ah.
I seen as well, and I don't, and I want it to be a minute because I don't want
it'll
to get
only be
it.
A minute because I get too into it. Yeah,
you'll get it too into it.
Yeah.
All I seen was a clip of Michael Murphy. Anyone who doesn't know Michael Murphy, we're not talking about the man that used to do the absolutely wonderful
sketch shows
and you've been framed hidden camera shows.
Yeah.
We're talking about Donegal GA player Michael Murphy, and he was on the pitch, and it looked like he was playing with children. In the Armagh team, because he was a solid man higher than the buck that was getting very vexed at him.
Yeah.
And this man tried his damnedest to headbutt him, but he only got his boobies.
Yeah, he headbutted him in the diddies.
In the chest. He gave him a headbutt in the diddies.
Yeah.
And
he nutted him in the diddies.
And Michael Murphy didn't seem fazed.
No.
And next thing your man got sent off.
Yeah, that was brilliant. So what's that guy's first name? Farker? Aidan Farker. So he's, not to call anyone out, like he'd be known enough, a lot of Armagh players would be known for pulling stunts like that.
Right. He has some aura, that Murphy buck.
I will say, the Michael Murphy aura is real, first of all.
Yeah.
I know him.
Do you?
I've met him multiple times.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not...
Do you have his number in your phone book?
I, funnily enough, would have his contacts. Yes. Ooh. I have a lot of contacts for him, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me say this, and I really, really, really mean this. Yeah. I really mean this for anyone out there. He is... the biggest gentleman you'll ever meet.
Literally.
Michael Murphy is the soundest, more quietest, unbeknownst to himself gentleman you'll ever, ever meet.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best footballers of my lifetime.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
I'm delighted that you know him.
No.
I'd say you get a buzz out of that.
Yeah, I worked with him lots. Like his job, so it doesn't matter how you tell you. He works for Letterkenny IT, which is now part of the ATU.
Yeah.
I've done
what
huge...
What does he teach?
No, he's like a head of sport there. He runs the gym.
Lovely.
There. Or he certainly did anyway. He also has a shop in Letterkenny where he sells sports gear. Yeah, no, I don't know if he's into golf, but he sells footballs and all that kind of stuff. He can wallop the ball at Michael Murphy's way. I can't stress this enough. When I saw that happening, it was the highlight of my weekend, and we did a fucking live show Friday night.
Yeah.
Was to see these flutes, because that wasn't the first man that hit him.
Right.
He came onto the pitch to a rapturous round of applause.
And everybody was vexed.
And another Armagh player hit him on the way out.
Jesus.
To which he ignored and said, I'm just going to keep going to my position.
Yeah, he's a very patient
man. To which Aidan Farker then says, I'm going to hit him.
Loads of times.
And then when he doesn't react, Michael Murphy reacted for a minute. He said, I'm just going to make sure you're away from me now for 1 sec. And Farker said, I'm going to headbutt him into the chest like a baby.
Well, I'm going to headbutt him properly.
And do nothing to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Murphy just... And I was so delighted... I was so delighted that the referee sent him off.
It was fair, like.
Yeah, it was fair because we see that too much, right? Not just in an orange jersey, but a lot of the time in an orange jersey. Sorry now to say that, like, you know.
Careful
yeah,
now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will be careful.
Don't be upsetting people, no. Especially from Armagh.
No, no. Yeah, I know, yeah. But they get away with that too much.
Yeah.
Right, like, there's real glorified players there on that Armagh team that are fantastic footballers.
Yeah.
But you also have checkered pass of gouging people's eyes and like real sinister shit. I was so glad that was such a nothing thing to happen. Mm. Like a head went into the chest, didn't bat. Michael Murphy, it's not going to do anything to him.
No.
But I'm so glad the referee said, that's not happening here.
Yeah.
I don't care if it hurts him or not.
Well, it's
when
good.
You get off this pitch, like, are you going to play football or not?
Yeah.
I've said it here on multiple occasions. Are you going to play football? And that's why Michael Murphy's back now, by the way, because the new rules are going to suit him.
Yeah, okay.
The new rules will suit him, and he said, I want a bit of that, like, you know?
That's nice.
And actually, you can call it now, whatever day, my watch doesn't have the days. What date is it now? It's the, anyway, this is episode 275, right?
Nice to hear you say it for a change.
Donegal will win the All-Ireland Championship this year.
Right.
So, I've said it now.
You've said it now?
I've said it now, and that's it.
You put money on it as well, by right?
No. I won't. Donegal will win the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it's just an aura thing. I think they will. Yeah. I think they will win the All-Ireland.
Very good.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you think Trump and Putin will single-handedly end the Ukraine war?
I've had less interest in that over the weekend, now, to be honest. I don't have quite the same figure behind this.
I have to say, it's kind
of... Well, Putin headbusted Trump
into the
chest.
It's kind of funny in that what they're doing is the Ukrainians are sitting there, like, busy fighting off the Russian army, and the US has kind of skipped in over their heads and said, do you know something? Let's have a word with Russia here.
Yeah.
So we wrap this up. Yeah. And Ukraine have nothing to do with it.
Nothing. But
nothing
it's the same.
And the EU are also feeling very left out. They're all kind of sitting there going, what about us? Aren't we not involved as well?
I know. It's just the same thing in Palestine. Like, Palestine have had nothing to do with the fact that Trump's like, I might put a hotel here. And they're like,
the gas are
excuse
Riviera.
Me.
Yeah, and like, I hear there's lots of gas off the coast as well.
But like, honestly, like, that's what you're up against with Trump. Like, is that he's going, do you know what? It's great that he might be able to sort stuff out, like, as in, but he's making all these decisions for countries that he has nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Nothing to fucking do with.
It's interesting.
And Europe only feel left out because they can't fix us.
No, they can't.
That's why they feel like the EU, like, a waste time. Like, they can't do anything. Do
you think Ukraine are going, be careful now. If you let this happen, we're all going to be taken over by Russia.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing as well is, where is that? Is it Romania?
Yeah.
Is it in Romania where they're trying to build that massive base?
Oh, but the Americans?
No, the NATO.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now there's a big right-wing guy in Romania who's saying, like, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to get into government and you're not building that base. And you can all go and shite, like. And
sorry, no.
So NATO's power is dwindling and dwindling, and Europe's power is dwindling and dwindling. And all of a sudden you have this fucking orange fruitcake coming in going, genuinely going, No, but like, he's the only one they'll talk to.
Yeah.
He's the only one that they'll talk to. And Europe are going, what about our diplomacy? And Putin is going, shove it up your backside.
Well, I have to say now, I'm kind of enjoying the crack of it, but I hope to God it doesn't end badly.
No, but I don't think it will end badly, though.
No. Stop that now, Letchy. I had not much else to say to you.
No, I mean, I'm glad we did this.
Had to say Shauna shits.
What?
Shauna shits.
Where does she shit?
I don't know.
Right, we'll see you next week. What the fuck? Shauna shits.
Yeah, I was asked to say it, give no context whatsoever, and a certain listener will understand, but I was asked to do it, and of course the live show was the natural place to do it, but I was afraid of doing it on the Hawkswell stage. I mean, me sitting there on a couch and like the guts of 300 people, and you're going, Shauna shits.
Yeah.
There would have been questions.
Definitely, yeah. Now almost.
And now it's just that.
You've said it now.
I've said it now, and that's all that matters. I've said it, and may they be happy, and I've done my piece.
So, you're listening to this episode now, and you're wondering, when is the live show out? It's at next week's. So, next week's episode is going to be the live show.
I don't know how, in fairness. I don't know how I can rep, because an awful lot of my stuff was visual.
Don't worry about that.
I'm
people don't understand.
I'm kind of confused.
Well,
as
actually, the thing is... So the thing is, I mean, the three of us will have a chat here, but I presume we might release that video to everybody.
I think it should just go out.
Yeah, I think
so
we probably
I nearly
do that.
Think that perhaps the live show will be out next week. There'll be an audio version of it.
Yeah, but really you should be watching us.
Watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, so it'll be on YouTube, it'll be on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, if that changes in the meantime, we'll tell you. But I can only imagine that's what's going to happen. Sorry, before we go any further, Ray, I actually do have a shout out. I want to shout out Sean Brown, who was at the show during
that's
the
right.
week. And me and him have something in common that really, I think, pulls us together.
Yeah.
In that he likes making fun of Brendan as well.
Yes. The shared interests.
I mean, that is a shared interest.
It is. I can get on board.
He sent us a message after the live show saying it was brilliant, only for that flute on the stage, which is exactly how I was feeling.
That's how everybody felt.
Yeah. So a shout out to Sean Brown. We love you. Fair play to you, boy.
Yeah.
And Ray, fair play to me.
And fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge and the Gigga Caravelle.